this talk is about Abacus, an open source software for the Dutch elections. Yes, software and elections is very interesting, but this is done in a very transparent way by some interesting people. Two we have here. One is Niels, who is a team lead for this project, and Mark, who is a lead developer. And they will tell you about Abacus and why it's great. Have fun.
Well, hi everyone. My name is Mark.
I'm Niels.
And we're going to be talking about Abacus. Why are we here? Because trust in elections requires transparency, and giving a talk about what we're doing is one of the ways we're achieving that transparency. We're going to present our open source software for the Dutch elections, and after that, let us know what you think about it. We're open to feedback. Again, my name is Mark Jansen. I'm self-employed, working for the Kiesraad as a lead developer and software architect. And you might know me from the CTF at Y, because I was on that team.
And my name is Niels Hotsman, and I'm a team lead, which in my case means that I go around with coffee and try to help with contracts and stuff like this. And we will guide you through our project. I'm a bit scared to move in this direction. See if it works with the sound. Yes, lovely. We'll briefly explain something about the Dutch Electoral Council, because that's the context, that's why we are here. We work at the Dutch Electoral Council. We'll explain the election process in the Netherlands and the role that software has in this process, because it's rather minimal and we want to keep it that way. We'll explain about the project itself, the way we develop it, and the benefits that this type of development brings to our organization, because we think that as a way of working, it's actually quite interesting. You learn a lot from it, and for sure we'll try to be smooth and quick so that all of you have time to go to the awesome closing talk. The Dutch Electoral Council determines the election results. So it defines the whole process within the limits of the law, and it helps everyone who's involved in this process, so all the municipalities, all the local election councils, election committees, and it provides the practical tools for this. Basically, we have a very explicit and elaborate election law that puts all the steps in the election process into law. It helps us a lot because it gives a very nice box of requirements. But being a legal system, it also needs some explanation. This we provide. And to aid in actually executing the process, which means running the elections, we have this nice bit of software. And that's why we are here. The Kiesraad, or the Dutch Electoral Council, has a number of values that are like the basic values that we think anything that has to do with elections has to take care of. And these values are actually quite cool, and it's actually quite cool that we can present them here. Because when I started to work at the Electoral Council, it's a nice and structured organization, stuff is done really well. So you receive, as part of your onboarding, a pack with this slide in a PowerPoint as part of the whole logo scheme, etc., from the communications department. And these values, we have to thank on them to our predecessors here. So basically, these values are the result of a long discussion we had quite a few years ago, for this, we have to thank the nerds, really. I'll explain that later. But the things that are really important in the Netherlands is voting secrecy, transparency, the freedom to vote. It needs to be verifiable. People actually do our work again using the data we publish. Only votes should count, and everyone should have a right to vote. These values are really important, and we thank them to the discussion in 2006 about voting machines. In the Netherlands, we do not use them. And we were happy to find some photos of the voting machine turned into a chessboard, and of some of the hacking that was done on the machines to prove that using this type of devices does not meet the basic requirements that you would set for an election. So, with this respect, from Wij Vertrouwen Stemcomputers Niet, which was an action started by Rob Gongrijp with the whole team of hackers, finally the Courthouse Altus Committee made a nice report, Voting with Trust, Stemmen met Vertrouwen. And in this report, the most important values that we hold dear have been identified, and we try to work accordingly. So, quickly about the voting process itself, we vote on paper. And when you vote on paper, you put a red dot at your candidate, and it's even written in the law that it should be red. Everyone who lives in the Netherlands who is a citizen can vote, depends a bit on the type of elections, and the counting is done by hand. So at each polling station, people count the ballots and write down the ballots in the reports from the polling station. And these reports are then they then go into this lovely process. I hope you can see it properly. There is the polling station, the municipality, the district or region, and the national level, where all the ballots are aggregated, are counted, are put into a report. The report is put into software. The software produces an XML, or as we call it, an EML file, which is election markup language, and it produces a document with the result. This document is then brought to the region, so all municipalities bring their documents to the region. At the region, we do the same process. The documents are entered into software, added up, and again, we have an XML and a new report. And the same goes on the national level. And in this process, there's checks. Every step checks the previous one, and we try to make sure that paper documents and the human-readable documents are the basic building block of our election results. So, and this leads to really nice checks and balances, which is a bit of a lot of text, but our paper documents are the source of truth. We publish everything. Each step checks the previous one. Data entry usually produces a lot of mistakes, so we have a really nice process for that to make sure that the digital files are they resemble the paper ones. And to help this, we publish both of them, so people check this as well, we check it, but there's a lot of volunteers who do this as well. And all the calculations, all the numbers that are being added up are checked on the input. And when we calculate apportionment, there's also a separate track which calculates the apportionment by hand. We've recently added a lot of nice data analysis as well, so that we can find, for instance, somebody wrote, made a typing mistake or there is some odd result in some polling station. That's nice, but the most important thing is that all is online and it can be checked by everyone. And luckily, people do this, and I think it's one of the most important parts of elections. Like I explained, the core values of the election process in the Netherlands are the result of a debate in society. The results can be checked by everyone. This is how we like to work. And it gives you a bit of scale. I love this really nice map of the Netherlands. If you're at home, you can have a good look at it. But we have 10 million voters in, say, an average election for parliament, 100,000 volunteers, 10,000 polling stations. There are 342 municipalities at the moment. So 342 municipal polling committees, and then 20 regions or districts, and one central one. And the central one, that's us. And we use software basically to add up all the results, because that's the only real thing that we need software for, is to add up these results, because the numbers get rather large and people do suck at adding up numbers. Mark, can you explain about Abacus?
I will. Thank you. So our project is called Abacus, because essentially it adds up numbers like a physical abacus. It's the software for election results. And we started this project in 2023 as an in-house greenfield development project. There is existing software, but we're starting from scratch, getting requirements, etc. It's decentralized, so every municipal election committee and all the districts run their own instance. No connections, no centralization there. Like Niels explained, the function of the software is to calculate the totals for each committee, and in the end, it will also do apportionment to allocate seats to every party once all the results are added up. How does this look like as a diagram? In the top, we can see that there is a list of candidates that comes in, and election files with details about the election. On the left, the certified election results, so the paper results, are entered into the system. We use a double data entry to make sure there's no mistakes, because it's very easy if you have to enter 1,200 candidates to make a small mistake. So we do it twice, check both against each other, make sure there's no mistakes. Do validation to see if there's no oddities in there. Then we're still working on the signature process, but in the end, there will be like the result of the software will be an export as PDF that can be printed and signed on paper, and a digital file that is machine readable. Like I said, software is air-gapped, not connected to the internet. This is what it looks like. I think this this photo is from one of the last election. We have a number of laptops connected to one physical switch with some small Ethernet cables, a physical server under the desk, and no other connections except to power the server. And the data entry people use those laptops to copy the paper results. That's it. Now for the UI. This is what it looks like. So for every polling station, all those candidates, the number of votes on the candidate gets entered into the system by hand. Paper on your desk, type it into the system. We do it twice. And important about this software is that we try to match the paper as much as possible, so that you just have to go through the paper page by page, enter the results from top to bottom, and there's no confusion about which numbers have to go into which field, which really streamlines the process and makes users a lot happier. So the previous screen was about what the people doing the data entry see, and then usually because there is many polling stations that have to be entered, we have overview that shows a coordinator which polling stations have already been entered, where mistakes have been made, so corrections need to be made, and what's already done. And once everything is entered, a report can be made. Then a bit about our about open source development in general, so what we have to adhere to. Open source software is the law in the Netherlands. This is an excerpt from the Kiesbesluit, part of the law. And there's some interesting parts in this. So there is these are the requirements for transparency. We have to develop the software open source. We have to use open standards. All standard components need to be freely available, so no commercial licensing. The intellectual property needs to be owned by the state of the Netherlands. Programming language needs to be used that is community maintained with an active community and an open source compiler, so it can be compiled by everyone. And the functions for summing up those totals and doing apportionments, so the allocation of seats, need to be easily identifiable and testable separately without the rest of the software. Then our design process. We are not doing this on our own. We're designing the software with users, experts, and the community, such as you. We do tests with users as well. There's a photo of user testing to see if the user experience of the software is clear enough, people know what to do, are not making mistakes or guessing what to do, because, well, we don't want that. We do practice runs to see if everything is running smoothly and everyone really understands what to do. We have user groups to gather feedback. We're open, as in there is a GitHub repository that you can look at. We actually develop in there. It's not just a weekly push of some source code. We actually do all our commits, our issues, our pull requests on GitHub, so it's completely transparent. And there's a Mastodon account in case you have questions. We do announcements there of what we're working on. And you cannot be too curious. You're welcome to look at everything and ask questions about it. On GitHub, we also accept external contributions. For example, this one. Someone discovered that there was a limit that we put in on the number of political parties that were accepted Abacus. It was only 256. The person thought that's maybe a bit limiting, seeing how the political parties grow every year. So we changed it from an 8-bit unsigned integer supporting 256 parties to a 32-bit unsigned integer, which should support 4.2 billion parties. Should be enough for the coming years. But it's an example of how we do accept external contributions. You do have to sign a CLA, but other than that, welcome to make a pull request. We invest heavily in software quality. So it starts with being open source and transparent, so you can see what it does, look at the source code. The source code is licensed under the EU public license, so it can also be reused, which we think is important because, of course, it's a government-funded project. We have a comprehensive test suite. This morning, we had 93% test coverage. We do code reviews, so all changes get looked at least two people. And then, before the software gets used, there is an external review before each election. There's security test, penetration testing, and there's a legal compliance review to see if the software actually matches what the law specifies it should be doing. Then, back to how the software looks, what the architecture is. We try to keep it simple. We have a front-end written in for the web, so it's running on a web browser, developed in TypeScript and React. So there's many laptops running this front-end. They connect to one back-end, one server. That's written in Rust. And then we store the data in SQLite, mostly for ease of deployment. And it's really robust, so that's a great property. Why Rust? Because it's open source, like I said, required by election law. It's a memory-safe language, so no buffer overflows. It's strictly typed with a modern type-safe system, which is very nice as a developer and also helps us implement the software in a nicer way. I'll show an example in a bit. There's great tooling, Cargo, makes it easy to get libraries, compile the software, compile it for different systems. Cross-platform support, even though by law we have to support one open source operating system, Linux, many municipalities run on Windows, and we want to compile our software for Windows as well, because we want to make it as easy as possible to deploy the software. So the cross-platform support is useful. And also, it's very easy to deploy once the software is compiled, because we compile to a single executable, so you don't need a bunch of libraries or runtimes to actually get started to get it up and running. One example of using the Rust type system is this one. This is modeling the apportionment law as Rust types. So there's a bunch of ways a seat can be assigned to a party. There's a highest average system. There's a unique highest average system. There's largest remainders. There's absolute majority, which can reassign a seat based on the majority that the party has. And then there's list exhaustion. If there's not enough candidates for the seats that are assigned, then a seat can be reassigned to another party. Quite complicated, but using the type system comes in handy. It really helps us understand the code, and it maps nicely to the election law. A bit about the libraries we use. So in Rust lingo, that's called crates. We use the XM web framework on the Tokyo stack. We use Utoypa for open API specification, which helps us write our front end, make it communicate with the back end. We use SQLX for the database combined with SQLite. We use types for PDF generation. I have an example in a bit. We use Quick XML for XML import and export, and Serde for serializing and deserializing to XML and also to JSON for our front end. This is an example of the type templates that we're using. So we use types, which is a bit like a modern variant of LaTeX, if you would design it now. So on the right is our output. It's a PDF of the results of a polling station, or actually the municipality. And on the left is how this is defined. So there's kind of like a template that takes JSON as an input, goes over it, and prints those nicely into tabular format. For each party. And this is great because it's nice to develop for. And also, it's nice to combine with Rust, because types is written in Rust. So what we can do is actually compile PDF files right from the Rust code. They don't have to be written to disk. They're all in memory. It compiles super quickly in a few milliseconds per PDF file. And the output gets just streamed back to the client. Which has been super great.
Yeah, and
then back to Niels.
Yeah, nice. The for the Electoral Council, choosing to develop this project in-house has brought some advantages. There is a famous saying that if you do not know how to build your own equipment, you'll be quite lost. And going through this process using eyes from our development team, you really come to every nitty-gritty corner of it. So that helps a lot. We have a really motivated crew to aid us with knowledge on this process, and it just adds a lot of quality, because every step in the election process is written in these legal documents, which are very elaborate, and then you have the reality. So we said, well, bring in people from the municipalities. How do they deal with their roles in the process? And together we managed to make lots of small contributions to what we are doing. And I can say, well, good. It's also more or less my part of the work. I think it's really inspiring to do all this work with the actual users of the software and to make this knowledge available within the organization. There are some requirements. You need to have people who actually want to do this learning process. And at the Electoral Council, we have them. You need to have people who are interested in using software development to improve the quality of their work. And it gives also, I can show some of it, really nice improvements. One of them is, for instance, we found after discussions with external experts that we could be more transparent than we were before. So at the elections for the European Parliament, we published the files, the digital files for the municipal and regional polling stations ahead of our own work, which means that you can, when you're checking each step in the election yourself, you had the option to calculate the final result yourself using the same input that we had and compare it. And I think this is the level of transparency and controllability that goes back to all the way to the start of our presentation, where we, as an electoral council, really try to make, you know, to run really good elections in the Netherlands. Yes, so we're hoping that Abacus will help with this. We're working on it at the moment. As you all have seen, we have the GitHub link. There's a nice little QR code that does not go to a YouTube video. It actually goes to our GitHub repo, which is open source. We are open for pull requests, and do get in touch about our work. And we look forward to talking to every one of you.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Niels and Mark. Before we come to questions, and I know there are some even on the internet, a short reminder that you can give feedback to all these talks on the website of the talks, so at the pre-talks. So now to the questions. I would start with you at the microphone, and wants to ask questions can line up, but we also have one question in the internet later.
Thank you for the talk. I understood that there was a mathematical definition available for the entire counting process, and I was wondering, given the fact that this mathematical definition exists, have you or considered formal verification or formal methods to do this counting process in such a way that it actually matches this formal specification?
We're working on that with universities. I think you know more about that. The interesting thing about the election law is that the election law itself has some oddities in there. For example, if there's no votes in a party, the election law would require you to divide by zero. So in the formal version, there is some kind of assumptions or like steering of how the apportionment process should work. That would be a good start for formal verification, because of course from election law you get all kinds of things like dividing by zero. Legally, apparently, it's allowed. mathematically, we can't do anything with that. And I think it's very interesting to look at if we can do formal verification.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, thank you.
Then I would like the question from the internet first, because you have time afterwards, and I want to get the question from the internet first. So if you would let him to the microphone first. Thank you.
So I have two questions from the internet. The first one is for Mark, which is, do you need to be on site for the physical accounting of the votes?
Yes. The answer is in the question itself, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I asked for clarification, but that was, Mark should know.
We don't have live streaming of counting, no.
Yeah, okay. The other one is, earlier you showed 8 laptops used for data entry connected to your system. Most laptops have built-in Wi-Fi. Connecting to the air-gapped system seems like a pretty big risk. Did you consider dumber data input terminals?
So they're not connected, did you say connected to Wi-Fi?
But they have Wi-Fi, right?
They have Wi-Fi, but we do actively check if there's an internet connection. the terminal shouldn't have an internet connection, and we do check it. We have something called air gap detection. Domber terminals would probably require very complicated logistics, so that's one of the reasons we just use commodity hardware.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
VT100s would be nice.
Well, thank you for coming here, for really interesting insight into developments in our electoral process. You talked about, his question was about verification of calculation, but that is probably with regards to the code itself. Are there any hardware guarantees that no faults sneak in? Because there's a story, for example, in Belgium where some cosmic event flipped a bit and gave somebody 4,000 extra votes.
Yeah.
Is there anything protecting against that?
There is, then we refer back to the paper documents. So there's like the paper stream, that's the primary source, which can be checked against the digital one, and that's the main way how we are preventing those kind of mistakes from happening, because you can never be like 100% safe if you rely on hardware and software. So there's many things you can do, and we try to do as much as possible, but it's never ever going to be 100%. So there's the paper trail that you can use to always check if there's any oddities in the results. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Just a quick answer for that. The paper trail comes from the same machine that also exports the data. So if there would be a glitch in the system, it would probably be in the paper trail and the digital output. Just a note on your earlier mentioning of voting by RAT. That is only inside Europe, inside the Netherlands. So if you vote from abroad, you can pick any color you want. But this is a side note from
Thank you for pointing that out.
M7 first thing from the legislation. I wondered why do you add a system like SQLite, and why don't you dumb it down to just some append only system?
Simply because it would be too limiting. We want to have a good user experience. We do saves, intermediate saves. We do a lot of things that that you can't really easily do with an append-only system.
Small follow-up question. When will this be in production?
We're working on a... you can... Maybe that's for Niels. Yeah.
Yeah. The electoral... the body of the electoral council itself, seven people, one of... them is actually here, will decide on the use of Abacus in September. So not for the first elections that we'll have in October, for sure not. And one of the scenarios is that we'd use it at municipal elections in next year. Yes.
So. Is an individual polling station using any automation, or is all counting can protocol done by hand?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand your question.
The lowest level, the polling station, do they complete everything by hand, summation, everything,
yes.
Or do they
yes.
use software for printing the protocol or anything?
No, so there's no, on the polling station level, there's no software involved. The paper is done, the counting is done by hand. Totals get written on paper, and those papers get transported to the municipality and the central location in the municipality, and there the data entry is done. So it's people doing many data entries for many police stations.
Okay, usually. So the protocols are physically transported, like
yes.
driven in a car with...
yes.
Okay. And on the next three levels, is the software running at each level standalone? There is no network?
No.
How is the data transferred from the next level to one level to another?
Physical.
Physical on like a flash drive, as well as like the paper gets driven around.
Okay, so the paper and XML on the flash drive. So if I understand correctly, the input to the next level is an XML from the previous one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
I can actually show it here. I'll just go through the slides until I have my little thingy. Oh, lovely. Yes. Here, you see that It produces a paper document, a document which is then printed, which is given to the next level. So from the neighborhood to the municipality, the same goes from the municipality to the district. So they're all physical documents, and they're all scanned and put online. And we use, in Dutch, we use the word onverweld, which means as fast as possible. So people can actually check the results from each level. And I showed the screen dump of the webpage where we published the results of the municipal and district level before we did our own work. So that would allow analysis of the entire flow.
Sure. If you are interested, I can comment that this looks a lot like the Russian system for levels, summation on each level. But in Russia, there is simple automation at the polling station. It's just to help print the protocol. The summation is still done by hand, but then you plug the numbers and it prints out the form.
Mm-hmm.
And also the USB stick with XML is also produced at that polling station. So that is brought to the next level, municipal level. And the data entered to municipal level goes to a centralized system. So in low, the summation still goes in stages, but actually at the municipal level, it's instant. It mm-hmm. goes through to the very top.
We have several values that are
And there is an air gap network, national wide air gap network for that. Yes. Which is obviously expensive to maintain.
There are some comparisons to be made which are interesting. We have the freedom to vote and we have the right to be a candidate. And I think there these are the part of the main values and the core of the electoral process in the Netherlands.
I think we should give other questions a chance. You can discuss that afterwards, I guess.
Thank you.
Okay, I had one small question as well. I was wondering if suddenly you go from small tests to deploying nationwide, how do you avoid new errors or bugs coming in? Like, do you do any physical testing before the elections? Or?
Yes. For software that has one production run, you want it to be really... solid. So we have this as part of our design process. We do test with users. We do practice runs, and we have this built in our development process, but also on a lower level where we are now at, as Mark showed, 93% code coverage. We try to test everything. I think our team is spending more time on building tests for the software they're building than on the actual software itself.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense. Thank you.
Definitely a fair point and really important.
Hi, thanks for that amazing talk. How many translift dependencies do you have and are those audited?
Good question. We have quite a lot, mostly due to Typest, and Typest pulls in a lot of dependencies. We still want to narrow those down because there's things like image embedding for different formats that we don't really need. And so we're trying to find a solution that would work to trim those down. We don't do auditing of all, like formal auditing of all those dependencies because it mostly, you can go on for a very long time and then still have some leftover risks that can be covered by the paper trails that we have. So in the end, we try to strike a balance between how much auditing work we do and how much can be just verified by seeing that the results of the software are what we expect them to be.
Thanks.
Were you planning on having more than 65,000 parties?
Well, that's not up to us.
Yeah. Since you went from a U8 to U32.
32 should be 4.2 billion, so that should be enough for every Dutch citizen to have their own political party.
Instead of a U16.
I did print the voting ballot on a sheet for our bed, our double bed. So if we would have this number of parties, it would be interesting to see what kind of merchandise we can make with that.
I guess we're future-proof.
Hello. Thanks for the talk. I have an interesting use case. I have a friend who goes into the voting booth, gets the ballot form, and goes home. It's legal. He can go So what do you do with the invalid votes? How do you?
It all gets counted. Well, so invalid votes, if you actually like would cross two dots on a ballot, then it would be taken apart during the counting. If there's a ballot missing, that would usually be seen by the chairman of the polling station, so it gets written in the report saying like there's one missing one. And also when they're counted, they check the stem passe, so the kind of like your right to vote paper against the number of ballots that were counted, and they should match. If there's an offset, there needs to be an explanation for it. And that all gets written up in the paper report made by the polling station. Mm-hmm. So that's all the physical process. The software doesn't yet interfere in that. But if you try to do a data entry for a polling station with a large number of invalid votes or a large number of missing votes, we would report a warning saying, like, is this really the right thing? Did you not make a mistake here? Which is one of the ways that we try to prevent mistakes.
Let's see. Yes, here it is. Yep.
So there's still a paper.
Everything is still going to be done on paper.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, no change there.
That will comfort him. Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Since the queue is empty, I think I can still ask another question.
Sure.
I found in 2023 we had a single point of failure regarding the distribution of the software, the result files which were signed, and the public keys that were used to sign the keys. They were all in one company, not the state ownership. I really doubt if they were even screened properly. Do you know the current state of the next election in October, what will be used for these three processes? I know that's not Abacus related, but
yeah, exactly.
Since you both work for the election body, I wonder if you know anything about it.
I'm not involved in that part. So.
Exactly. We're both not involved in this part, so we're happy to have a look for you and discuss after the session. But
and the same thing goes like for the Abacus thing. Will there be three platforms? Will it be online delivered? Or will it be a separation of these three things?
So there will be. We're working on code signing, for instance, which is something that you'd really like to have. So you can make a proper trail from the binary that's on your computer to the one that we intended to deliver. And if there is any difference, you'd find out. Which mitigates part of that. The actual delivery of the software has not been decided yet.
So we have about 5 minutes left. We have two questions, and I also would have like one question.
Yes, for sure.
But first you.
Volunteering for lid stembureau, is it the kiesraad where I can report for duty?
At the municipality. And it's one of the cool features of our election process is that there are the municipalities organize, each municipality organizes it by themselves, and they'll be happy to have you.
To which booth should I go? To the...
At the municipality, probably, if you...
They have, when I enter the building, where do you come? Do you want an ID? Do you want to travel? And then I vote, I have to select a ticket from, hey...
Yeah, usually on the website, there is an email address.
And I should check for...
So what's
the keyword?
I have a very practical solution. Directly after the talk, we'll look at exactly which municipality you live and we'll find the connection.
And the thing I want to share with the audience, is there a keyword for it? Should I search for stembureau, kiesraad, lid stembureau?
Yeah, vrijwilliger stembureau, lid stembureau.
Thank you. And it's really cool because this whole process is run by a lot of volunteers. And the election process in the Netherlands is a process that is our process. Sorry.
Hi. I would like to get back to your air gap check, which also there was an online question about. Because as far as I can tell, your security features are mostly software focused. I've heard nothing about ECC memory against bit flips, which, I mean, makes sense because they almost never happen, but still. Your air gap check, as you explained it, checks whether there's a connection or not. But we've seen examples in the past where devices can be sabotaged if the Wi-Fi device is even just enabled, not even connected. So I would argue you should check whether there is a Wi-Fi device available or not, not whether it's connected or not.
That's actually a nice one. What we try to find is the right balance between, say, a lot of security features to mitigate risks that come from hardware and software inside the computer, where we also do, and that's very important, the transparency with publishing all the stuff, doing checks over it from input to output. Mm-hmm. So where we take basically the entire computer and all that's part of it out of the equation by just checking if it did its work properly. And then you try to find the right balance, because you can discuss, say, TPM, for instance, or what happens here, what happened there. And that is just this tightrope. But I really like checking if Wi-Fi modem or anything is available, is switched on. If we can easily add that, that might be a really cool pull request. And one thing that we have, which is, I'm announcing, it's been in existence quite a while. Everyone who contributes to Abacus, who has their code in the repo, will personally hand this really nice challenge coin. So there is an open invitation for everyone to help us and add your code to the repository.
Okay, yeah. I'll see you on GitHub.
Thank you.
At the last question, there was a lot of questions about technical sides. My question is about all these volunteers who are participating in the voting process. At least in Germany, they are often quite old, and some of them have some disabilities. So how are they being able to work with your software? What's your experience? Because you said you tested something with them.
The volunteers in the polling station at the local level do not use the software at all. So the software is used at the municipal level, at the regional level, and nationally. And there, the volunteers who take part in this work are also on a municipal level, responsibility of the municipality. And there, in a lot of municipalities, there's groups who come election after election, who work, for instance, in the finance department, who are very much oriented and have fun in entering numbers into the system. So this is a way where we deal with this. When it comes to accessibility of polling stations, that's something that we put a lot of attention into, because it's part of the openness of the elections.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you, Niels and Mark.
And thank you. Thank you, all of you.